So now you might be wondering why I'm wearing this. I'm going. Not at all. It's accessory. So I'm going camping later today with Friendly, and she always likes to leave as soon as possible, so I thought I'd just get ready early. And then I realized that, wow, what I'm really ready for is the power of imagination, right? Because this is exactly where that light sits, on the third eye, or the first eye, as I prefer to call it. So I won't annoy you with that the rest of the time, because you know how it is with the light shining in your eye. But I've always marveled at the ingenuity of camp equipment. I don't know if any of you are campers or backpackers, but it's constantly evolving. And it is genius stuff. I mean, how clever is it that you can have this hands-free light and you can do whatever you need to do and find your way with a simple headlamp? And at that energy center to remind us that that is the place from which the light emanates, from that inner vision place that allows us to see with a single eye, this power of imagination. Can you imagine how flat our lives would be without it? I mean, there wouldn't be art. There wouldn't be a lot of pretend games. There wouldn't be much theater or any of those things that light up our lives. There would be little symbols, which is such a big piece, I think, of the way that spirit communicates with us is through symbolism. Researchers say that by the age of 2, that we are able to know that something, to imagine that an object is somewhere where it is not in our physical sight. So by the age of 2, we already have that power fully developed that we are able to imagine, to see, to bring forth whatever it is that we wish to experience and see and attract to us. That's the power of imagination in one of its many ways that we can use it to its fullest ability. The power of imagination is one of the 12 powers of humankind. And in this series, we're looking at these powers through the lens of how to prosper and heal, how to use this particular power to heal and to prosper, whatever we want to heal and in whatever ways we want to prosper. So it leaves the playing field pretty wide open, doesn't it? But these two parallel kind of pathways on our spiritual path are really key ways in which we walk this life journey. It's about healing and wholeness, and it is about prosperity, manifestation, attraction, the kinds of things we want to experience to be on purpose in our lives. So there are lots of fun ways to stir the imagination. We can do soul collage and vision boarding and all kinds of, you know, through inquiry or meditative visioning, visualization. And there's also ways that we can connect with that childlike being inside of us. I went to Disneyland recently, and has everyone been to Disney? Have lots of you been? Lots of you have been to Disneyland or Disney World. Well, if you haven't been yet, I highly recommend it. As soon as we walked in the front gate, I could not stop skipping. Like, you couldn't have stopped me if, you know, it just happened. I was just like, I just couldn't stop skipping for some time until I got tired. But it's that, you know, when's the last time you skipped? You know, or I actually used to know one of my, not my classmate, but one of the people that was in ministerial school at the same time. Her husband had this kind of ZZ Top sort of beard, you know, really long white hair, and he skipped everywhere. And so you'd see him skipping across campus this way and that, and he just brought so much joy when he did it. So, you know, skipping might be something that you might want to take up as to ignite the sort of playful spirit within you. And, you know, what these kinds of things do when we shift, or maybe go to this local park and swing. You know, that can be really wonderful, too. The last time I did that with an adult friend, I was just giddy afterwards, you know, because it puts us in that childlike space, which then puts us in that place of pretend and that place of imaginative being and seeing and experiencing. And it takes us out of our routine ways of thinking that we often get kind of hooked into in our minds, right? And routine ways of being. It gives us a new avenue, a new perspective, and widens our view. The brainiac Albert Einstein even said that imagination is greater than knowledge. And he said it is the preview of life's coming attractions. And so what is it that you would like to experience next? What are you previewing? What is the coming attraction of your life? It's the power of imagination to make it so, to cast your vision for that which you want to live into or step into or experience in your life, in your relationships, in your world, in your work life, in whatever areas, the arena of life that we play in, we can choose where we will cast that vision, how we will use this power for good. Jesus said in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount this very mystical thing about this single eye, this first eye. He said, "The lamp of the body is the eye, and therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be filled with light." The lamp of the body is the eye. So he's speaking, of course, about this vision, this place of visioning, this place of imagination and power. And when we can close the outer eyes or override the outer eyes that are only seeing the physical plane and move into this higher level of seeing and being, this single eye, our whole bodies will be filled with light. It's the way to see. It's the lamp of the body. So learning to see in this way, through the spiritual eye, to ignite the power of imagination is what we're all about. Anybody ever hear about the eye of providence? You ever heard that terminology? The eye of providence is on the seal of the U.S., and it is on, I love that it's on the $1 bill, right? The one. And that symbol, that pyramid-like symbol, isn't it an interesting symbol that we have that we're, you know, constantly interacting with this, right? A lot of us don't use paper money a lot anymore, but over the years, we have spent a lot of time interacting with this. And this pyramid is really fascinating. So the pyramid itself represents strength and endurance, and we can think about the power of strength, which we'll talk about in future Sundays. But if you look at the Latin that's there, so that those words across the top of that I, they mean God has favored our undertaking. That's what they translate to. Or we could translate that a little bit further to the divine is blessing me on my venture or our venture. And so we are blessed, we are favored by this undertaking, this adventure, whatever it is that we are imagining for our lives. And so that eye is this eye of providence, this eye is representing that single eye, right? This spiritual eye through which we see. You might notice, too, that the western face of the pyramid is a little bit shadowed, where the front of the pyramid is full of light. And that western side, it literally for the founders of the country at that time, was probably the unexplored western frontier. But we can see that as the unexplored frontiers of our own consciousness. If we see the pyramid as our own being, as our physical lives, then we can recognize that there are places we have yet to explore spiritually, yet to realize, places to expand into. This is the exciting thing about, you know, sometimes as people age, they think, well, what else am I going to really vision or, you know, do besides play with the grandchildren? And it's like, but as long as we are living and breathing, we are constantly evolving spiritually. And what's exciting, I think, too, as we age, is that we tend to go more internal. And so we tend to work more with these principles even, because maybe we don't have to work and take care of the kids and, you know, do as many of those different things. We have possibly more choices. So when you consider that pyramid, there is also underneath another Latin phrase, and that Latin phrase at the bottom of the pyramid translates into a new order of the ages. A new order of the ages. So you think about this, like, it's all about possibility. It's all about prosperity. It's all about whatever it is that we reach for, that we cast into the realm of possibility that we wish to live into. And Joseph Campbell, as you may be aware of his interpretations and mythology, he says that those 4 points around the corners of that pyramid, at the bottom of the pyramid, are how we see things through limited perspective. So you think about it, when we are just hanging out at a corner of the pyramid, usually we think, okay, I've got this figured out. But that guy over there at that corner, he's on the wrong corner, right? Anybody do this, right? And back at us, right? And so if we just keep circling as a humanity, as a community, as a family, in a relationship, if we just keep circling the base of the pyramid, we're not going to get very far, right? It's just going to be a lot of this limited perspective. I can only see from this angle, and therefore, well, this must be the right angle. And this is where we get into all this divisiveness and stuff that just doesn't allow us to rise up, to move forward, and to manifest the things that we all wish to see in the world and in our lives. But it is by that shift that says, I'm going to look instead with my inner eye. I'm going to see with my inner vision what it is that I want to move toward. Then I can move things in that direction. You might also notice on that pyramid, there's a gap, right, between that the point where the eye is and the rest of the body of the pyramid. And I believe that gap signifies the powerful transformation or transition that happens when we shift into more spiritual seeing, when we don't make our perspectives that are through the economic lens or the political lens or even the religious lens. Those are all kind of circulating around the pyramid, right? But it's when we go directly to spirit, as Charles Fillmore, our co-founder, would say, in all this babble, I'm going to headquarters. I'm going directly to headquarters. If this spirit and I are one, then I can communicate with this spirit. That's exactly what we're talking about. It's a shift from, I can't solve this problem at the level of the problem, as Einstein said, so I'm going to that place of headquarters. I'm going to that place where I can see things from a bigger picture point of view, a place of possibility. It resolves issues, it solves problems, and bigger than that, it casts a bigger understanding of who we are. Our providence expands when we see from the eye of providence. So that upper view, that divine providence, is a big piece of what the power of imagination does for us. In the Kabbalah, it says, the fierce power of imagination is a gift from God. The Kabbalah is the mystical Jewish text. When we are in that, when we make that shift, when we go from those lower levels of the pyramid of living only in the dense physical world and not allowing the body to be filled with light, right? The body to be the temple that is filled with light and moving to that higher perspective. When we do make that shift, everything's possible, right? Bodies can be healed. Relationships can be healed. From that place, things come with a sense of ease. Prosperity is ours on every level that we wish it to be when we are centered in that place. Yes, we're going to go off center, and then we can shift ourselves back to center. So the power of imagination can help us get there. Imagination has the power to help us heal. And we can think about this. How can we use this? Let's think of an example. So let's say, have you ever had a beloved one that you went to see in the hospital or at home, and they were hooked up to a bunch of machines, lying in a hospital bed, and, you know, you were feeling down about that perhaps, or, you know, trying to support your friend, but that image was still in your mind. Anybody ever have these kinds of experience? And that's the image that kind of locked in. And so it's our work, our spiritual work, to shift the image. Because the best thing we can do with a friend or the person we love is to see them in their wholeness, see them in their vitality, see them exactly as we wish to see them. So between services, Mike was telling me about Culliver, who used to be a minister here. Some of you remember her. And when she was in ministerial school, she had a classmate whose son had been in a horrible accident, and he was a diver. And so she was in a similar state, as I just mentioned, hooked up to all kinds of machines, and here's her young, vital, athletic son in this condition. And what she did was she took a picture of him when he was diving and in his, you know, optimum fitness, and that's all she would look at. Mike said she carried it around so much she almost tripped over the dog. You know, she was just constantly looking at the image of him in his wholeness, in his perfection, in his vitality. And so we can cast that mental vision of our friend, you know, the person who is we love to laugh with, and see them in the image of laughter, see them in their joy, see them running through a field of golden poppies. Whatever it is that you need to see, hold that vision. That will do far more in helping somebody heal than anything else we can do, really. We can begin to use our power of power and speak the affirmative words that go with that, but that visionary power is really, really intensely powerful for healing. And we can use it to heal anything, not just bodies. Linda Martella Whitsitt is the author of Divine Audacity, which is one of the 12 Powers books. And she talks about the power of imagination to heal families, fractures in families. She says, if your family is fractured by disharmony, your attention focused on your family unity is more valuable than trying to convince each involved relative to rekindle the relationship. Anybody been down a road like this before? You know how it goes, right? You're on the horn with somebody, trying to get somebody to talk to somebody, and if we could all just get along, right? If we could all just come together. But how much more powerful would it be before the next family gathering, or just right now, if you were to envision to see your family joined together in harmony and joy and connection, and with some of that stuff that circles around the bottom of the pyramid falling away? It's a joy to imagine. It's a joy to play. It's a playful power. It's my favorite power for that reason. I think it's my favorite power right now. They shift, but it's that it's because it's fun. It's a fun power to begin to activate and to play with and to see the possibilities. So what about prosperity? Similarly, we can apply it. Richard Billings was a Unity minister for 50-some years, and he worked at Silent Unity, and then he served at Unity of Oak Park in Illinois for, I think, nearly 50 years. John is from Oak Park, he knows. And Richard told me that in the early years of the ministry, when they were struggling with finances, he would go and sit out on the steps of the church after everybody had left at night, and he would close his eyes, and this was back when it was all checks and cash. And he would just imagine checks falling from the sky onto the steps and all over him, falling on his head, falling into his hands, or just falling all over. And just that, you know, can stir up that prosperity. Just that kind of visualization can be very, very powerful for us. So we can do it as a community. We've got two fundraisers going on right now. Probably more than that, but two key ones. So one is there's actually an image, there's a thermometer, one of the classic images, that we're raising money for our HVAC system, so in the residence. And so you can go look at that thermometer and you can see where the line is right now. Just imagine it full. What if everybody in this room and the 9:30 service went and looked at that and saw that thermometer full? If we hold that vision, in no time we will have $22,000 and it will be paid off. And, you know, we also have a campaign going for 75 new automated givers to support our ministry. And so you can support by becoming one if you aren't one, but you can also support by envisioning us reaching our goal, that there are 75 automated givers in the 75 days up that are leading up to our 75th anniversary celebration. So it's this kind of thing that we can band together, you know, wherever two or more are gathered, there I am, right? There is the vision that we hold, the prosperity that we wish for, that we are attracting to ourselves. If you and your spouse or someone else are trying to create something together, Use the principles. Use the power of imagination. Sit down together and see it. Come up with an image or a symbol and allow that to be your guiding light, your North Star, that you bring your attention there when you find that you go to those places that say, oh, it's probably not going to happen, or if only, or when, or, you know, and you start to feel that heavier energy dragging you down. Shift to that thing you can see that brings hope and faith and rekindles your vision for what you wish to have in your life. So we can also revision, which is also a cool part of the use of this spiritual ability. So if you have old memories, old stories, maybe the ones that kind of cycle through every so often that aren't such happy memories, you can actually recreate those. Revision them, revise them. That's what revision means, right? Redo them. I've done this before. I had a memory that I didn't like that memory, and I didn't want to dwell on it anymore. And so I went into meditation, and I practiced this for a little bit, several times, probably three times, before it just shifted. And I imagined instead what I wanted to have happen. And I felt what it felt like for that to happen, which I wished would have happened when I redid this memory. And after just a couple of times, I felt the shift. And so we can do this ourselves by tapping into that single eye, revising and recreating the kinds of memories we wish to even have, replacing. We have all of that at our fingertips. Winifred Wilkinson Hausman said, to set it right, see it right. That's what it's all about. And so whatever it is, you know, I find it really helpful, our Awakened World Prayer Circle that we started, I don't know, six some months ago. And at the end of noon meditation, we talk about, or we presence things that maybe may have been weighing on our hearts or in the news. And by coming together in a circle of prayer and imagining together what we want to have happened in the fullness of that issue being resolved or moving into its wholeness or moving into its prosperous state, and affirming together and blessing together that scenario, that issue, that concern, and making it how we wish it to be by the power of that prayer circle is really powerful. I always feel lighter. I don't know how you feel, Eileen, after that circle, but I always feel lighter, even to just talk about things that maybe I haven't, and I see Elizabeth too here, another one of our regulars. Even if it's something, maybe it's been in the back of your mind or something you read in the news, and then you go on with your busy day, but to sit together like that and go, oh yeah, here's something I'd like to put in this circle, and I'd like our world to awaken around this, and I'm going to bless it, and I'm going to affirm it. This is another way that we can use this. We can draw our vision. We can use symbols. We can write our script, our lives, and then close our eyes and imagine ourselves like a movie in that which we want to experience. So there's so many ways to use this power. I hope like just one thing has grabbed you today that says, you know, I think I'm going to work with that. I'm going to use that idea. I'm going to allow myself to open this single eye so I can see as the one sees. The one sees the world and sees me. And that with that eye open, I can see in the light as well as the dark, as that really beautiful ethereal song that we heard during the meditation. So anything and everything that you are wishing for can be ignited by you igniting this power. And remember to keep maybe a single wallet, a single dollar with you in your wallet, in your purse, on your altar, somewhere that it can just keep reminding you of these powerful symbols. Oh, and there is a symbol over here too, that eagle symbol. And the eagle underneath that one, it says E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. Out of many, one. Isn't that what we teach all the time? And so with that one vision, that sense of oneness, a sense of power, where will you place your single-eyed vision? Decide and then work with it throughout the week and see what you can manifest. Be amazed at how quickly it comes. So together, let's affirm this truth, this power, and really live it and ground it throughout our week. I invite you to say this with me. Through my inner vision, all is healed and prospered. And so it is.